Thank you, Hannah. That was so good. I wish I had preached that sermon. That would be a great sermon. That's 3 points. I could find a poem. That was the two things they teach in seminary about preaching. One is that you preach about God and preach about 20 minutes, and then the other is that you do 3 points in a poem. I don't do the second one now. Our scripture lesson today is found in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, reading the first 19 verses. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and 2 others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only about 100 yards off. And when they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." And then he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This is the third Sunday of Easter, and I think we only get two Sundays of Christmas time, but we get 6 at Easter. So we're looking at what the resurrection means. And I'm always amazed that as long as I have been a minister and as long as I've been preaching and, you know, preaching this, you see new stuff. You see new stuff. Every Easter you think, oh, I got to do that same stuff again. But every single time it's fresh. And what we've been seeing this year, and what I've been trying to kind of share with you folks, is that when the disciples have locked the doors, yes, they were afraid of the Romans, but one of the things is they were hitting the pause button on ministry. They were not doing ministry, and this really was a turning point. This really was a crossroads. I don't know if I would say a crisis, but it's a crossroads. Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, has got to get them up and going and ministering again. And of course, the one he says, upon you I'm going to build my church, is Simon Peter. Simon Peter was the one who recognized him first as the Messiah, and the one had great confidence about his own dedication and love for Jesus. Even though they all desert you, I will never betray you. And Jesus says, Simon Peter, this night you will betray me three times. And it happened. And I think for somebody like Peter, you might have known somebody like this, that they had these really vaunted values, and they're very severe criticizing other people, but they're really severe criticizing themselves. And when Peter failed himself in that way, it was almost more than he could stand. That he had been the one who Jesus said he'd build my church on, and he had denied him three times in his hour of need. And that's very hard. So now we've got these three resurrection appearances of Jesus. The first one that we did last Sunday was the same night. It was Easter night, Sunday night, after the women had seen the stone rolled away from the tomb. And the disciples are locked in a room, and Jesus comes to them and says, peace be with me, look at my hands and my feet. And then a week later, Thomas was absent at the first one, and Thomas was present a week later, and Jesus came in and did the same thing. And both times, Jesus gives them a commission. The first time, he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they will be forgiven. Well, Peter has a hard time forgiving himself. You know, he just can't forgive himself for what he did. And they have not addressed that. And so then we get to this scripture. So it's Easter, then a week later is with Thomas. And the opening to this says, after these things. So this is kind of indeterminate period of time. And they were, again, behind locked doors, these disciples, gathered there together were Simon Peter and Thomas and Nathaniel, and they're sitting there and they're waiting. They're waiting. And they don't know what they're waiting for, but they're waiting, like for Jesus to come again. They don't know what. And so there are some people that are good at waiting. Peter was not one of those people. He was not a good waiter. And so he's like, I just think of him as doing this with his hand. It's like, you know, and it's just eating him up inside. And so he finally just goes, I'm going fishing. And the other disciples don't have any better ideas, and so they go, we'll go too. We'll all go. Now, it's important to remember that for Peter to say, I am going fishing, it's not like you and me saying, I'm going to have a nice day on the lake. You know, and I'm going to get my rod, my reel, I'm going to get a couple spinnerbaits, I'm going to try to catch a bass. That is not what they're doing. These guys, what were they before? It was Peter and his brother Andrew, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Those four were fishermen, professional fishermen, and they dragged nets around and caught fish. That was their life. That was their vocation. And what Peter is saying here is, I'm done with this disciple stuff. I'm done. I am going back to what I know. I can't screw that up the way I've screwed this up. I'm going to go back to fishing for fish. Remember, Jesus said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. He said, I'm going to make you a fisher for fish. Now I've got, you know, there's some people get this because they are fishermen and some people are not. You know, I ran this fishing resort for many years called Kingfisher Society. And we would have a bunch of TV shows shot there. And one of them was a guy named Hank Parker. And Hank Parker has a show called Hank Parker Outdoors. And he came every year. And one of the greatest things about Hank Parker was he was a wonderful storyteller. So every year we kind of look forward to kind of sitting around the table hearing his stories from the past year. And he told one story, and it kind of illustrates the difference between the fishermen and the non-fishermen and the disciples. And he was saying that he was going to a fishing tournament in South Carolina, and he was running late. So he's going down Highway 9, South Carolina, two-lane road, and pulling his fishing boat with a trailer, and he was going 90 miles an hour, headed for I-95, 90 miles an hour, and he gets pulled over by a South Carolina State Patrolman. And it's this really big old guy, and he gets out of his state patrol car, and he comes up and asks for driver license and registration. He looks at it, and he hands it back. And then he takes out a pad, and he walks around the boat, and he's writing something down on this pad all the way around the boat, all around the trailer and the motor. And he comes up on the other side, and he finishes writing. And he goes, Mr. Parker, you know how fast you're going? And Hank goes, yeah, I know. I was going pretty fast. And he said, sir, I got you for 90 and a 55. And Hank goes, yeah, that's about right. And so he tears off the piece of paper and hands it to him. And he says, all right, I'm going to need 5 packs of plastic worms. I'm going to need 5 spinner baits. I'm going to need 5 crank baits. I'm going to need some worm hooks and some worm leads. And I need some horny toes. And Hank got on the floor and had a Bass Pro Shops bag, and he's throwing all this stuff in the bag, gets it all in, and he looks at it and gets everything in there, and he ties it up, and he hands it to the state patrolman. And he says, thank you, sir. Now, Mr. Park, I want to tell you one thing. He said, about 10 miles down the road here is I-95, and that part of the highway is patrolled by my friend Billy. And, sir, if I were you, I'd slow down, because Billy don't fish. Isn't that a great story? So there are those who fish and those who don't fish. And so the disciples who do fish were Peter, James, and John, and Andrew. And the ones who didn't were Nathaniel and 2 other disciples. And they're all going to go. They're all going to go fishing because they ain't got nothing else to do. And they don't even know if Jesus is coming back or not. And so they go out there, and you know what happens? They fish all night long and catch nothing, zero, nada, nothing. And for professional fishermen, that's pretty embarrassing. I mean, even for those of us who are not professional but feel good about ourselves, that's pretty embarrassing. And it reminds me of, have you ever gone to the coast and they had those long fishing piers out in the ocean? And, you know, one of the things that I used to like to do is you could go out on the pier, pay hardly anything, like $2, and go out on one of these piers, and you bring a cooler with some beverages and like some pork skins and some a radio and some shrimp, and you just all night long on the pier you fish, and what happens is when the sun comes up, all these tourists come out, you know, the homes and everything, and they want to walk on the pier. And if you have caught something and you have it fish in a bucket, for some reason they're not interested in you. They just walk right on by. But if you have not caught anything, they are attracted to you. I don't know why, but they will come, and you see them coming. You go, come on, no, don't. And so you know what is the first thing they're going to say when they come up to you. Caught anything, which is exactly, there's this tourist on the beach, 100 yards away, they're out there working all night, professional fishermen, and this tourist says that, and he says, lads, have you caught anything? He says, oh, no. All right, so on the pier again, when you say no, do you know what the next thing they're going to do? They're going to tell you what you're doing wrong. They're going to tell you how to fix it. And they go, they'll look down and go, oh, you fishing with shrimp? Oh, man, everybody knows that. You don't catch nothing with shrimp here. You need teeny weenies. You need to put teeny weenies on your hook, and then you'll catch something. I mean, that's the kind of stuff they do. And sure enough, this guy on the beach, he says, oh, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to cast your net on the other side of the boat. All right, now look. They've been out there all night long, and they're professional fishermen. Do you not think they've gone 360 degrees around that boat many times? And so it's almost like sarcasm. You know, they're like, oh, okay, at your word, we will do this. And so they cast net, and you know what happened. They cast net on the other side of the boat, fills with fish. Okay, so this is just like wonderful. And so Simon Peter, he's finally like, oh, man, look. And so he's all stripped down, and he's working, and he's trying to get these things and trying to keep the nets from breaking and still have the fish. And there's one guy who's sitting there, and he's not so into fishing that day, and it's John, the author of the book of John. And he's kind of like deep thoughts with Jack Handy. He's kind of sitting there thinking and going, I've seen this somewhere before. And, you know, because Peter hadn't got time for that. He's got to get these fish in. He's not thinking philosophically. He's just getting the fish. And he goes, man, I know. And then he remembers the other time when they were called. Do you remember that story? When they were called, it's almost the same thing. And he kind of says under his breath, that's the Lord. And Peter can barely hear it. He's working so hard. And he goes, what? And he goes, that's the Lord. And all of a sudden, the cogs and everything, they click in. And he goes, that's it. That's him. And he just jumps off the boat. Do you remember that scene in Forrest Gump when Lieutenant Dan goes out on the pier and Forrest sees him and he's going by in his shrimp boat, goes, Lieutenant Dan, and he just jumps off. And then he comes running, get up, and he walks up the ladder, and you see the boat crashing in behind him. He goes, that's my boat. That's my Forrest Gump. Thank you very much. I mean, that is exactly, Peter just is the impulse of, he just jumps in the water, he swims to shore, and then you just in your mind's eye, you think, he gets about knee deep and goes, oh yeah, man, we hadn't talked about the thing yet. You know, he maybe slows down a little bit. Ugh, yeah, we hadn't talked about my betrayal. And so, and then what he comes in there, and verse 9, when they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it. How'd that happen? Jesus from heaven, how'd he get fish on the fire? Well, he could have just poofed it. You know what I mean? He was there at creation, so he could have just poofed some fish on there. But it's charcoal. It's not gas. It's charcoal. And yeah, I know. See? And he says, bring some of the fish that you've just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net. He must have been a strong guy. Hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. Now, that's how you know these are real fishermen, because they count. Real fishermen count fish. They also lie, so that could have been 130. But no, it's the Bible. It's the Bible, so it's 153. I didn't know too many fishermen. And even though there were so many, the net was not drawn. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. And none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. And this is the third time. Okay, so he's cooking them. And then finally, this is the part that kills me. Truly, it kills me. He says to Simon Peter, Peter, do you love me more than these? And my whole life, I have understood that, and I've heard preachers preach on it, that Jesus is talking about the disciples. Even the Phillips translation of the New Testament translates this, Peter, do you love me more than these others do? But the word these, it takes an antecedent, and you can't tell from the Greek what the antecedent of these is. So Jesus could have been pointing at the other disciples, Peter, do you love me more than them, than these disciples? But what if he was pointing at the fish? Peter, do you love me more than these 153 flopping, slimy, choking fish that you brought in here? I've given you your best day, personal best. Is that enough? Is that do it for you? If you're going to go back to doing this, this is the best it's ever going to get. Is that enough for you to be fishing for fish? Or do you want to be fishing for people? And he says, do you love me more than these? Pointing at the fish. And Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you. And then Jesus gives him a command. He gives him a call. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. And then he does it a second time. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And then he says, tend my sheep. He has a call right with it. And then he said to him, Lord, third time, do you love me? Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now, see, that's what I think this is all about here. All of these post-resurrection things, they were paused in their ministry. And Jesus had to get them going again. Because that's all that he has left now, is those disciples to do his work on this kingdom. Plus, for them to get deeper in the faith, they had to minister. And that, again, I know it's the crudest, simplest illustration you'll ever hear, but it's the toaster. You plug the toaster into the wall, and the cord goes to the toaster, and the destination of that power is the toaster toasting the toast. But if you grab hold of that cord as the toast is being toasted, it warms up, and we are that cord. If you're doing ministry for Christ, you warm up. And that's why your vocation with a big V, your call from Jesus Christ, is different than your vocation with a little V, your occupation. Yes, it's really good to have a job. It's really good to make money and pay your bills and feed your family. All that's great. There's nothing at all negative about that. But it's not your calling with a big V. Sometimes it is. I mean, there are some professions where they're ministering for Christ in their jobs. I can think of some. even as a minister, you still have to, you can't just do it by rote because you're getting paid. You have to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. And so what he's doing here with Peter, he's saying, you have a choice today, my brother. You can go back to fishing for fish, and I am giving you your absolute best day, and if that's enough for you, then I have miscalculated. But if it's not enough for you, tend my sheep, feed my lambs. That is what I'm calling you to do. And that is what we're called to do. That's what this resurrection thing is to say, look, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, whether you are fully healthy or if you are sick or if you are busy doing other things, if you're homebound, whatever, God still is calling you to do some kind of ministry, and you got to figure it out. And that's what we're all trying to figure out here. I mean, as a church, we're trying to figure out. And the latest thing we figured out is this garden. That's a great ministry. It's putting your imagination to work and just being God's person, being a disciple of Jesus wherever you are. Now, the way I usually close this is with the Buechner quote on vocation. And I know my family gets on me. You did that one before. I've done it many times before. I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do one more besides that one. But the question is, what is your big V? What is your vocation, your calling from God to deepen your faith, and to do God's work on the planet? And Jesus' word to Peter is the same to you. Do you love me more than these things you're doing? What is getting in the way of you following Jesus today totally, fully, gladly, as the ordination says, with energy, empathy, imagination, and love? That's what we're called to. I love that, imagination and love. And just like Peter, we have to forgive ourselves of some things. We've all denied Jesus in our lives at different points. So you have to get over it. You got to forgive yourself so that you can do that ministry. So here's the quote from Buechner, but I got another one. It comes from the Latin vocare, to call, and means the work a person is called to by God. This is actually in the book that we gave the confirmants on Easter, Wishful Thinking. There are different kinds of voices calling you to all different kinds of work, and the problem is to find out which is the voice of God rather than of society, say, or the superego, or self-interest. By and large, a good rule for finding out is this: the kind of work God usually calls you to is the kind of work, A, that you need most to do, and B, that the world needs most to have done. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. And that will always be one of my favorite quotes on this. But I found a new one, and I'm going to close with this one. This is from Barbara Brown Taylor, who's a writer and Episcopal minister. And she struggled with her sense of God's call for years. And she says, one midnight, I asked God to tell me as plainly as possible what I was supposed to do. Anything that pleases you, that is the answer that came into my sleepy head. What? I said, waking up. What kind of answer is that? Do anything that pleases you, the voice in my head said again, and belong to me. That simplified things considerably. I could pump gas in Idaho or dig latrines in Pogo Pogo as far as God was concerned, so long as I remembered whose I was. And in the silence that followed, she decided that it would please her very much to be an Episcopal priest. And for the next two decades, that is the career path she pursued. So it's not about changing your job. It's about knowing that you belong to Jesus Christ in your job. And that every person that you meet in your job is a divine appointment. There's a lamb that needs to be fed, that there is a sheep that needs to be tended. Do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you never give up on us, even when we give up on ourselves, that you forgive us when we don't forgive ourselves. Lord, help us to hear your call to your vocation that you want us to have in our lives to serve you, that we would be able to deepen our faith by serving you, and that your kingdom would be brought here on earth, that love would be shared, that justice would be done, that the outcast would be brought in. Thank you that you give us your Holy Spirit that gives us power to go from this place and live into your ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.